They're the best in the interior. See Auto Trim Design's wide variety of Vision X, Putco, and VLED lights that fit most vehicles. Stop in or give us a call, 456-8400, and we'll design the right setup that fits your lifestyle. Auto Trim Design's philosophy hasn't changed in over 20 years. We treat every customer the Alaskan way, with honesty, integrity, and respect. Customized by Auto
Trim Design. The following interviews and commentaries are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
It's time again for Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio with the latest news and conversation related to firearms and your Second Amendment rights. Sponsored by Rogers Auto Repair, Arctic RV, Auto Trim Design, and Frontier Outfitters. And now, Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
Welcome, listeners. This is Shooter's Corner with Laura Berkowitz, KFAR Radio. Please call in throughout the hour to join us, 458-8255-458-TALK. What is on your mind about firearms today? It's another great day in Fairbanks. It's overcast, 41 degrees this morning. I'm enjoying the warm, and here at the KFAR broadcasting station, Melissa Burnett is running the board for us. Thank you, Melissa, and keeping the archives up to date. They are up to date, so if you miss a program, it should be accessible in the archives within a couple of days. What is on our agenda today? Let's continue our book review of Dr. Gav Schneider's book, Can I See Your Hands? A Guide to Situational Awareness, Personal Risk Management, Resilience, and Security. I have been practicing my Wilson Combat P365. I do like it. I want to report back to you on my findings. And I have a more in-depth answer for Al on the Alaska Board of Game Approval for night vision goggles, which was amended to electronic enhanced night vision devices and forward-looking infrared devices than I had last week. And we will talk about the inter-limb interaction next week or the week after. This is important for us to understand. It can happen to us under stress, in a flinch response, in a startle response, and the phenomena can cause us to have an unintentional discharge of our firearm. But I have good news for listeners. Chuck and Raiden will be on Shooter's Corner both May 2nd and May 9th. That is our plan right now. I will be here too, but so put May 2nd and May 9th on your calendar. I've been discussing Dr. Gav Schneider's book for quite a few weeks now, and we're going to try to finish up next week, April 25th. So Chuck has deep experience, both academic in training and in real-life situations with similar types of things we've discussed in the book. And Chuck, through his training and experience, has a different perspective than Dr. Schneider on a number of things that I've talked about from Dr. Schneider's book. So Chuck has offered to come on Shooter's Corner to share his views and provide excellent practical information on how we can keep ourselves safe. And I'm really looking forward to this very much. So mark your calendars, May 2nd and May 9th. And really, where else can we get the level of discussion we get from Chuck Indereiden besides Shooter's Corner, except that, well, you could sign up for his classes. Those are the only two places I know. So thank you, Chuck, if you're listening, for coming on the 2nd and the 9th of next month. Now, speaking of Chuck, his next Alaska Concealed Handgun Permit class with openings is going to be August 3rd. His Red Dot Transition class on April 20th, this Saturday. I think it has three openings left last time I looked. That's an important class to take if you're transitioning from irons to a red dot. And actually, if you've been on a red dot for a long time, you're still going to learn quite a bit about how to use it effectively. On May 4th and 5th, Chuck is offering his defensive handgun for the armed citizen. And I keep saying I recommend taking the Alaska Concealed Handgun Permit class first, then turn around and take his defensive handgun for the armed citizen class. So if you sign up for the concealed carry class on August 3rd, you can turn around and take the following defensive handgun for the armed citizen class on August 17th and 18th. Everything will be fresh in your mind, and that's going to be a lot of powerful training. June 29th and 30th is his defensive shotgun course. The class is geared for the home defender's use of a shotgun, and Chuck is hosting Massad Ayoub in Fairbanks for the MAG 20 and MAG 40 classes. MAG 20 runs 2 days, July 11th and 12th. MAG 40 runs those 2 days plus two more days, so that's July 11th through the 14th. And MAG 20 has openings. MAG 40 is full. The course description for MAG 20 is a two-day 20-hour immersion class in rules of engagement for armed, law-abiding private citizens, emphasizing legal issues, tactical issues, and aftermath management. The MAG 20 is the non-shooting portion, and the full MAG 40 has 2 days of shooting added on. The MAG 20 is great for those of us who want the rules of engagement, legal issues, tactical issues, and aftermath management. $500 for that portion. That's actually a bargain considering who's teaching it, and I would pay twice that much for that class, honestly. I will be at MAG 20. Glenn Miller will be there. He's attending the full MAG 40. We can all learn together. This is a rare opportunity to learn from one of the best known and respected instructors on firearms, personal protection, and aftermath counseling in the United States. You can sign up for any of Chuck's classes and Masad Ayoub's class on Chuck's website. You can also sign up and pay for Chuck's ACHP classes, his defensive handgun for the armed citizen class, Red Dot transition class, and more of his classes at the Alaska Ammo Store. You can sign up there and pay for it there. So if you want to be on Chuck's mailing list or have any questions, call him at 844-966-4079 or go to his website, c4traininggroup.com. His email link is under contact on his website. And Glenn Miller's upcoming metallic cartridge reloading class on the AIMCOM website. Oh, folks, April 27th, it's full. There was one spot left and somebody grabbed it. Now, more classes will be scheduled this fall. I don't have the dates yet. I'll talk to Glenn and see if I can get those dates way ahead of time for you. So if you want to be in a future reloading class and the dates are not listed on the AIMCOM website, just call Glenn and he'll put you on his mailing list, 907-347-1396. And one more announcement. Now, last, I want to thank James Payne and Dalton Gray from the Northern Hunter Media Group for being on Shooter's Corner last week. Their company, the Northern Hunter, is sponsoring a bear baiting workshop absolutely free of charge this Saturday, April 20th. It begins at noon. An afternoon of bear baiting education and training with bear hunting and biology speakers. Beginners are welcome. A barbecue lunch will be provided free as part of the event. A great way to meet experienced instructors and others from our community who hunt bear over bait. The event is at the J.P. Jones Community Center, 2400 Rickert Street. And our friends from the Northern Hunter Media Group ask that you go to their website and RSVP so they know how many will attend and make sure there is enough delicious barbecue. Their website is thenorthernhunter.com. So that's thenorthernhunter.com. Again, the workshop and lunch are free of charge. James Payne and Dalton Gray are reaching out to our community to provide a service, and I hope our community appreciates and supports that effort. Again, the website is thenorthernhunter.com. So let's move on to a question from April 4th. One of our listeners, Al, I think he said his name was, called in about whether the Alaska Board of Game approved night vision goggles for taking fur bearers. And the answer is yes. And I said that last week, but let me give you some details this week. And I called over to Fish and Game and talked with a very nice lady. And she emailed me the documents and provided me with a direct link so I could find this type of information in the future. The proposal we are interested in is Proposal 52, Unlawful Methods of Taking Game Exceptions. So exceptions to the unlawful methods. And I will read the proposal to you. Quote, proposal, allow the use of night vision goggles and forward-looking infrared devices for taking fur bearers with a trapping license in units 12, 19, 20, 21, 24, 25, 26B, and 26C as follows. Allow the use of night vision goggles and forward-looking infrared devices for taking fur bearers under a trapping license in all of Region 3. And then it gives the site, it's AAC92.0807C, artificial light, except that artificial light, night vision goggles, and forward-looking infrared devices may be used, item I, for the purpose of taking fur bearers under a trapping license during an open season during open season, November 1st through March 31st in Unit 7 and 9 through 26, unquote. And then they ask, what is the issue you would like the board to address and why? So let me quote that for you. The language is, under the current regulations, hunters and trappers can only use artificial light for fur bearers in Units 7 and 9 through 26. Opportunity for harvest is lost because of the short daylight during the winter months in the interior and eastern Arctic region. Adding the use of night vision goggles and forward-looking infrared devices to the exceptions under unlawful methods would allow hunters and trappers many more hours each day besides what is defined as daylight. Region 3 has a very healthy population of fur bearers, and the harvest would be sustainable and provide additional reasonable opportunity for harvest for personal use and subsistence. This could be considered for a statewide proposal, but we would like to use the interior and eastern Arctic region as a test area. We anticipate that any additional harvest would not be a conservation issue, and testing in one region before considering it statewide would provide an opportunity to look for abuses. This change would be expected to add some burden on the Alaska Wildlife Troopers, unquote. And let's see, let's go to break, and I'll finish up about this subject when we get back.
As you brush your teeth and comb your hair, think about your faithful friend in your driveway. While you visit your doctor or dentist, remember your four-wheeled pal in the parking lot. You do your own routine maintenance. Your car or truck depends on you to do that for them. Call the folks with experience and a sound reputation since 1967. Rogers Auto Repair, from tune-ups to complete rebuilds, airboat and inboard service as well. Family-owned and operated, Rogers Auto Repair.
It's remote start season at Auto Trim Design. We are the only CopyStar Pro dealer in the interior of Alaska. Our top-of-the-line Pro T13 comes with a rechargeable two-way full-color LCD screen remote, and it's capable of up to 3 miles of range. It's waterproof and has a proximity unlock feature. No more fishing for your keys when your arms are full. We pair it with Drone Mobile, which gives you the ability to start your vehicle from your smartphone or smartwatch. Auto Trim Design is your number one remote start dealer.
KFAR weather.
Sunshine mixed with clouds at times today. With daytime highs approaching 60. Winds out of the east, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Mainly clear tonight. Lows dip down to about 30. Bright sunshine tomorrow. Highs level off around 62. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now, back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Welcome back. This is Shooter's Corner with Laura Berkowitz, KFAR Radio. Melissa Burnett on the controls. Call in at 458-8255-458-TALK and let us know what's on your mind about anything having to do with firearms today. So picking up where I left off, that proposal was made by the Fairbanks Fish and Game Advisory Board, and the very nice lady at Fish and Game also provided me with the Alaska Board of Game meeting notes on March 15th through 22nd, 2024 preliminary actions. And on that document, the action taken for Proposal 52, which I just read, is carry as amended. So they did amend that language, and the language reads as follows, quote, allow the use of night vision goggles and forward-looking infrared devices for taking fur bearers with a trapping license in units 12, 19, 20, 21, 24, 25, 26B, and 26C. The board amended the proposal to change night vision goggles to electronic enhanced night vision devices, end quote. So now legal trappers can use electronic enhanced night vision devices, and as I read it, also forward-looking infrared devices. So this is all confusing. Electric Electronic enhanced night vision devices would be like night vision goggles and forward-looking infrared devices. I think those are sometimes abbreviated as FLIR, and that stands for forward-looking infrared. They sense thermal energy. So if I'm wrong about that, someone can correct me. So thank you, Al, for that question. I learned something new, and it made me think of Joe Nava, who used to tell me stories about when he was young, working full-time, plus going to school to finish his undergraduate, and then his master's degree at the University of Alaska, Fairbanks, all while raising his family of five children. And Joe and his son Joey would, in the dark of Fairbanks winter mornings, early before work and school, head from his tiny house, as he described it, on Blanche Avenue in Lomita, where he lived at that time, to Murphy Dome Road, where he ran a trap line. And in the dark, in the snow, I bet he would have appreciated having a night vision device. One of the animals he was trapping were lynx for his dissertation research project. So there is a good lynx trapping story he told me. I don't think we put it in the book. And when I have time, I'll check my transcripts, and if I can find it, I'll report back exactly the way I recorded him telling me the story. Yep, he would have liked to have night goggles for finding those lynx in the trap at night. So let's move on. I want to report back on my Wilson Combat SIG P365 Nitron, and I have had a chance to spend time live firing it with the gun, and I'm pleased with it. It was a lot of money for me to spend on a carry gun, but I think it's worth it now that I've shot it. I have not put an optic on it yet, but I will soon. I already purchased the optic, and I want to enjoy that front battle sight a little bit more. However, that it looms large and bright, the big red dot on that front battle sight. I really like that. But the upper edges of the rear sight blur out for my eyes. That's just my vision. So for accuracy, I will mount the Holosun 407K. I definitely do not have a problem seeing the front sight on this gun, and that's usually my problem. That said, I have decent defensive accuracy without the optic, and you know, all of this has to do with my eyesight. Someone with good eyesight might be just fine with the irons. They are very, very nice irons on that gun. Wilson Combat only puts the battle sights on the optic ready modifications, so otherwise you would have to specify separately that you would want them if you're not going to have it cut for an optic. The SIG factory trigger was replaced with a Gray Guns trigger, and Wilson Combat says that Wilson Combat makes some spring adjustment. So dry practicing, there is no, I call it SIG mesh. There's no SIG mesh in the trigger. And of course, live firing was very enjoyable, and I went with a flat trigger shape. I have replaced all my SIG triggers with a flat trigger. I just like the feel of it. And what I have read and what I found for myself is that my finger placement is more consistent with the flat trigger. That plus pressing or squeezing or whatever they call it these days, a flat shape gives me the illusion of a smaller, lighter effort. And of course, it is an illusion. The poundage doesn't change, but I just like that flat trigger. So I started with the flat triggers probably 3 years ago, and I got to thinking about it because I watch how the Youth in Our Marksmanship program operate their triggers. And I watch very carefully. And on curved triggers, especially on the curved triggers with the integral safety bar, I see less consistency in where their little fingers are placed. And I also see their trigger finger rise up in the curve as they take the shot. And all this affects accuracy. And I think it has something to do with that safety bar. And I tell them where to put the end of their trigger finger because they are all starting out as young marksmen and they're not always consistent. But that led me to analyze more about my own trigger operation and the flat triggers. So moving on, I have the original SIG P365 Nitron, so I can easily compare the original to the Wilson Combat model because now I have both. Wilson Combat replaced the polymer grip module with their own custom design, and they say it helps with recoil. It does seem thicker or rounder in my hand. I think it is a little bit thicker. The stippling pattern is enhanced, although I was fine with the original SIG stippling. However, Wilson Combat designed a beefier tang, which I like. The small P365s are snappy guns, but not enough that it ever bothered me. But the Wilson Combat small version is still snappy. I don't really think the snappiness is tamed on this little gun. The model's purpose is to be a small gun that is easily concealed, so a little snappiness goes with that territory. To tame recoil, Wilson Combat offers a grip weight kit, that's what they call it, and it is three tungsten rods. And their language is that this weight kit, quote, is the perfect solution for those looking to enhance their recoil control and improve their firearms balance, unquote. So when Wilson Combat molds their grip module, they designed it with three channels into which these three tungsten rods fit into. And the kit is $18.95, but you have to look for instructions, at least I did, on YouTube. So I found instructions on YouTube, and it's easy to put in. They're easy to put in. But I'd have to think about this whether I want it or not. Maybe I'm not thinking clearly, but it seems that to tame recoil, one would want the weight in the barrel end, not the grip end. On a gun like I have a Pardini SP, and those have barrel weights. You can apply barrel weights if you want them. Wilson Combat is saying the grip weights will enhance recoil control and balance. And I guess for $18.95, I could try it. However, as I said, the recoil really doesn't bother me on this gun. What I'm feeling is expected for such a small gun. But Wilson Combat probably knows what they're talking about. So, I don't know, maybe I'll try those and report back. This little gun has a 10-round magazine. The magazines come with three base plates, flat, medium, and larger, depending on your hand size. I use the medium base plate, and that all my fingers fit on very easily and comfortably. So talking about the magazine base plates, here's some interesting news. And I did not know this when I purchased the Wilson Combat model, but now SIG makes the 17-round magazine that they have for the X-Macro Comp. They make that 17-round magazine to fit all of the P360 models, all of them. So I can put a 17, if you can picture this in your mind, I can put a 17-round magazine on my P365 X-Macro Comp, which it was made for, or I can put it on this cute little 10-round P365 Nitro and have a little short barrel with a very long grip. Or it'll also fit on any of the XL models, which are built for the 12-round magazines. So when you purchase the 17-round magazine, it comes with the flat base plate installed, but also in the package are two other sizes of base plates. And one is the length or height to accommodate the P365 XL models, like the standard XL or the Rose, and those are 12-round guns. And the third base plate included in the package is much longer or higher and accommodates the smaller P365 Nitron, the 10-rounder grip size, like my Wilson Combat. So those two extra base plates are the size that bring the plastic top of the base plate and the side edges right up against the bottom edge of the magazine well for those shorter grip guns. So if you wish, you can load 17 rounds into that 17-round magazine with the adapter base plate for the P365 Nitron and have yourself a long grip and almost twice as many rounds. And just so you know, I have not succeeded in getting 17 rounds into one of those magazines, into my X-Macro Comp 17 magazine yet, even using the Up Lula, but I can get 15 rounds and one in the chamber, so I'm happy. Anyway, I do think some of you might enjoy this option of 17 rounds in your 10-round gun or your 12-round gun. Alaska Ammo has these in stock, or you can order them directly from SIG on their website, and I actually think that was brilliant of SIG to do. Wilson Combat left the original dimensions of the trigger guard as it is on all of their guns, on all of the SIG guns. So it is rounded in the front instead of the slightly concave like you see on some guns.
Okay, we have a caller.
Caller, you are on the line.
Good morning, Laura and Melissa. This is Ron.
Hi, hey, Ron. I knew you were calling about these.
I have a couple of 320s and a 365, uh-huh. And on the 365 and the 9mm, I have Wilson grip modules.
Yes, I remember when you called in, and at the time I think you were just buying them, so I don't think you ever reported back what you thought. Yeah.
But at any rate, I think the biggest thing about the Wilson grip module is the fact that it has a very enhanced front and back strap treatment.
Yes, yes, yes. So can you tell that it's a little bit thicker? It's a little, like it kind of has a little palm swell in there?
Actually, I find the Wilson to be just a bit more trim than the factory grip.
Oh, okay.
And unfortunately, I also have a third P320 SIGS red-headed stepchild. And unfortunately, Wilson does not make a grip module for that.
Well, are you happy with your Wilson combat grip modules?
Yes, it's quite nice, and I find that one of my problems, and it's purely a personal problem, is that on firing with a factory grip module, every time I took a shot, I would trip the magazine release with the heel of my thumb.
Oh, okay.
But on the 329mm, that doesn't happen.
See, this is so personal because I can't even reach. I have had to retrain myself to use my offhand thumb to do the magazine release. It's just, you know, because all of our hands are different. That's interesting.
Well,
so you're tripping it.
I have no problem with the mag release on the something like a 1911, but on both the SIGs and the Walters, with the one exception that I mentioned, I had to turn the mag release around and operate it with the trigger finger.
Oh, interesting. You know what? I hadn't thought of that. I would rather do it with my shooting hand. So,
well, it works pretty well, and once you run dry practice a little bit with it, it comes pretty natural.
I'm going to have to take a closer look at that. That's a great idea. I hadn't thought about that. I'd rather just deal with the magazines with my offhand and handle the mechanics of the gun with my shooting hand. Otherwise...
Well, I would point out, too, that the reversal of the SIG mag release is dirt simple.
Okay, great. And
unfortunately, the Walters are not.
Oh, dear. Now, did you put those tungsten rods in your...
I tried that on the 320, and I found no perceivable difference.
Okay, that's what I'm thinking.
Interesting.
Yeah, I just think if you're going to put weights on it, it would go on the barrel.
As they say, different strokes for different folks, you know.
Yeah. Then I won't spend $18 then.
I don't want to discourage you from experience.
Yeah. At the right things are going, that will buy one 9mm round here.
Exactly. Collection season, you'll get half a round.
Yeah.
Well, then you're getting into, I can't call his name right now. The reloading fellow.
Oh, Glenn. Yeah. Well, I'm going to be starting reloading
Ron,
this summer.
Ron, it's time for a break, so we got to go.
Okay? Thank you for calling.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. All right. We're going to go to our half-hour break, and we'll talk around the corner.
Trial involving alleged payments sent to an adult film actress. President Biden in Philadelphia today. He was endorsed by Kerry Kennedy, the sister of independent presidential hopeful Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
He is the first sitting president in our history who has traveled to an active war zone, not under U.S. control, not once, but twice, to show support for our allies.
Well, the U.S. and U.K. have imposed new rounds of sanctions against Iran as concerns grow. Their unprecedented attack on Israel could fuel a wider war in the Middle East. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
The Fairbanks Daily News Minute reports that the Alaska Senate Labor and Commerce Committee heard testimony on a proposed bill that could centralize all transmission lines and assets on the rail belt under a single state agency. Senate Bill 257, sponsored by the Senate Resources Committee at Governor Mike Dunleavy's request, was introduced following the release of a state energy task force report in December. The task force, started by Dunleavy in 2023, was instructed to find ways to achieve affordable energy goals over 20 years. Senator Kathy Geisel, the Senate Resources co-chair, said the bill will allow Alaska's power to be more efficient. She added various parties have invested time and resources in examining the concept. The goal of this bill is to unite Alaskans to integrate our transmission into an efficient highway for electrons to lower the cost of energy and get that transmission system open to renewable services and cleaner, lower-cost energy for all Alaskans, Geisel said. Others testified that centralizing rail belt transmission authority under a single entity would derail independence among
utilities.
Streaming
live online at KFAR660.com.
Whether you're flying or boating into your favorite fishing hole or just driving to the lake, make Frontier Outfitters your first stop for all the fishing gear, licenses, permits, and stamps you'll need. Frontier's extensive fishing department has the conventional, fly, or saltwater tackle for every game fish in Alaska's streams, rivers, lakes, and ocean habitats. Rods and reels, lures and natural bait, lines and nets, dip netting supplies, even sunglasses. Frontier Outfitters has what you need for your successful trip, plus marine parts and equipment downstairs at Century Hardware. Frontier Outfitters, for your Alaskan lifestyle.
Hi, Steve with Auto Trim Design. Be it work or play, your truck bed will take a beating. You need to protect your investment with an Arctic Spray-On Bedliner from Auto Trim Design. Our Arctic Spray-On Bedliner was developed as a commercial coating for use on the Alaska pipeline, which is exposed to our extreme Arctic conditions. Why should you or I settle for anything sub-quality? Get your Arctic Spray-On Bedliner today at Auto Trim Design. And as Ben says,
we will be here when the other guys are gone.
And now, back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Welcome back. This is Shooter's Corner with Laura Berkowitz, KFAR Radio, Melissa Burnett on the controls. Call in at 458-8255, 458-TALK, and let us know what's on your mind about firearms today. And Ron, I'm sorry we had to cut you off at the commercial. I have power at the 15-minute commercials, but no power.
I totally wasn't even looking at it. I was really interested in these weights and like the fact that they have them in the grip, and I'm just trying to put that together in my head. So I missed it.
Yeah, sorry. And I was involved. You know, I get so involved, I don't pay any attention to the time. So between the two of us, okay, well, let me move on here. So I think I was talking about the trigger guard that on the grip module, the trigger guard is the same as it is on the factory SIG. It's rounded in the front instead of either slightly concave like some guns have. And some people prefer a flat or concave front edge with some type of stippling or grooves on the trigger guard. And if they have larger hands or longer fingers, they can place their non-shooting hand index finger on that portion. And I have read, I used to think that was not a good way to handle your gun, but I have read that some people think that it helps them steady the gun. So I don't know. I don't do that. My fingers are long enough. So if you do that, that gun doesn't have a flat or concave. It's just rounded like the regular SIG guns. The slide on the Wilson Combat model is 10 times, I'm just saying 10 times, probably 100 times easier for me to operate than the original P365s. Any of them, and that is not an exaggeration, Wilson Combat makes what they call their exclusive X-TAC pattern cocking serrations, both front and rear, and what a difference that made for me. I can grip them very firmly. The original SIG serrations are pretty weak, in my opinion. The best slide grippiness I have experienced prior to this Wilson Combat X-TAC pattern was the cocking serrations on the Springfield Echelon. And that was a long slide, though, on a full-size gun, so you have more grip surface. This little P365 Nitron size doesn't provide much surface, so the deep diamond shapes that Wilson Combat cut into the slide work very well, and I'm very pleased with that because as I get older, I am not getting any stronger. Now, Wilson Combat also cut the top flat surface of the slide between the front sight and the ejection port with, they don't say what those lines are, but I think they're anti-glare lines, and I have never experienced glare from the top of a slide, but the feature sounds good on paper. If those are something else, somebody call in and tell me what they are. Another enhancement Wilson Combat makes to the P365 slides is that they make what they call heavy slide bevels all around. And I believe they recoated the slide surface because on their website it says, quote, the WCP365 stainless steel slide and 3.1-inch chromoly barrel wear the most advanced black DLC diamond-like carbon physical vapor finish available. This ultra-hard finish has chromium and tungsten underlayers for a long-lasting corrosion and abrasion resistance, end quote. And I already mentioned I had the gun cut for the Holosun 407K, and I bought the red dot color, the red color. All of my other handguns with optics sport that red, sport red color dots, except that I have one that has a green dot, and I don't like the green dot. I just can't see it that well. So I bought the basic 6 MOA dot, not, they have other ones that I didn't buy. I did not buy the 2 MOA dot solar safe one or the 2 MOA with the 32 MOA circle for this new gun because I want everything I have to be exactly the same. The Holosun 407K is a direct mount to the SIG P365, so there's no adapter plates. But when you buy the custom gun, you tell them what you want it for, what you're going to mount on it, and it's ready to go for what you told them. So if I had to do it all over again, though, I think I would have started out not with the Holosuns, but with the Trijicons, and I would have stayed with Trijicons. And I put a Trijicon illuminated dot scopes on a couple of my rifles, and I bought a Trijicon red dot to switch out if I wanted to use a red dot on those rifles, and I really like the quality of those Trijicon red dots for the price. So that's the way I would have gone if I wasn't already into all these Holosuns. So what else? I took the Wilson Combat P365 Nitron along with my largest model, the regular P365X Macro Comp, when I go to the range, and I had my smallest and my largest to compare accuracy and other characteristics when I first tried it out. And I started with the Wilson Combat model, wanting to start with a smaller gun, and I set the target at 30 feet. And my first attempt yielded a pattern to the left, down a little bit, and I'm pretty sure that has to do with grip, so I had to start working on my grip on that gun. I've not been practicing with my smaller P365, so I need to pay more attention to what I'm doing. I've mostly spent my shooting time with the XL versions and the X Macro Comp with the larger guns. So I hadn't picked up that smaller gun for probably a couple of years. Now, I'm pleased with the Gray Gun straight trigger and whatever spring enhancements Wilson Combat made. I do like the trigger. I can definitely tell the difference. The small gun feels well balanced in my hand. Some of that has to do with the way that, like we were talking, the Wilson Combat grip module is styled. And the rest is because I have small hands, so the gun is not too small or too narrow or too wide a fit for me. It seems to me, and I mentioned this to Ron, there's a little bit of a palm swell in the Wilson Combat grip module for the 365 line of guns. It's very comfortable for me. I think that those of you with larger hands would like it. But on the smaller P365 with the short grip 10 rounds, I'm not so sure it's going to make much of a difference. It will be more comfortable to grip, but like we were just talking about, I'm not sure it's really going to have anything to do with controlling recoil. These things are just really personal preferences. So moving on to the larger P365X Macro Comp, I can blow out a nice little hole on the target. Of course, it's a larger, heavier gun, and so I have a much tighter pattern than when I am shooting the smaller gun. However, the smaller Wilson Combat model of the P365 is still excellent for defensive accuracy. I'm very pleased with that Wilson Combat version. I think I got my money's worth. I think this will be a lifetime gun for me. I'm not complaining about it. Usually I start complaining right away if I don't like something. It has a special niche as a carry gun for me. And the best thing is one more under the counter. There's one more of these under the counter at Alaska Ammo if you want to handle one or you're thinking about buying it. When Alaska Ammo ordered mine for me, they brought in two of them. And so I bought mine sight unseen. I just bought it off the website. Configured it off the website. I hadn't tried it or held it yet. So Alaska Ammo is a dealer for Wilson Combat, and I committed to purchase, as I said, when I asked them to order mine without handling it first. But with that second one there at the store, you have the opportunity to handle one first. So go in there, handle it, ask them. It's there under the counter. And there's a reason for my madness here, and this is my excuse. I need different guns with different capacities for different things I do and places that I go. I knew that. I knew somebody would laugh at that. The whole town that's listening.
Me too, Laura. Me too.
Yeah. Okay. So now I actually have that all with the same basic model, and that was been my goal for the last couple of years. And I have the Filster Enigma holster rigs for on-body carry for each of the three sizes. And I have a Vertex Sling belt pack for off-body carry. In those, I put crossbreed sticky back holsters, which are Kydex holsters, with the Velcro loop backs that stick to the inside of the Vertex Sling pack, which is fuzzy inside. And I have the crossbreed executive holster, which is a belt holster that will fit both this small model and the XL. So I have the regular XL and the Rose. And I have the crossbreed belly band and the Freedom belt, which accept the holsters I already have for these guns. I purchase a Zendira. It's Z E Zendira. This is for the ladies. A Zendira high-quality leather purse sling affair. I think mine's the Friday model. It's a small Friday model. They have a model for every day of the week. And this is really popular with the Rose ladies, and that's where I found out about it. So Zendira offers a purse carry options. They're really classy. Nothing screams gun or tactical or anything firearms related. It's really fine leather. It smells really good. It was also a little over $200. The gun compartment is magnetic, so you don't have to mess around with opening a zipper. Okay, that's on the model I got. I'm assuming the rest of them are similar. And it's really fast to access. My goal was to pick and choose for whatever activity, however I decided to dress that day, and for whatever imaginable threats I might prepare for, except for bears, which is a whole different gun. But I wanted this extreme flexibility, and I really have been working towards this for a few years now. So now I just wear what I want, grab the proper carry set up and gun and go. So, of course, the other reason I wanted to get this deep into the process is that there are many ladies who don't carry because they don't know how to effectively. And I plan to provide some classes this fall and winter on these systems. So here's a heads up. I'm helping organize a Mother's Appreciation Day that's Saturday, May 11th. And it's the day before Mother's Day. And it's going to be at Alaska Ammo. Now, during that event, we will have a number of free mini seminars. And Grace Nelson, who's a lady I know in town and have worked with, she's a firearms person, shoots USPSA and still challenged. She shot precision for UAF when she was in college. So Grace Nelson will provide a mini seminar on carry methods for ladies, specifically concentrating on the Enigma holster system. So I'll have more information on that event as we get closer, but be sure and sign up for the announcements on the Alaska, for emails on the Alaska Ammo website, so you'll get event announcements. And one more thing for fashion conscious ladies, if you have a SIG or a Glock and want to dress it up, and the guys are probably rolling their eyes by now, head over to rangecandy.com, website, and you can get SIG candy or Glock candy or AR-15 candy, meaning you can get OEM, original equipment, manufacturers, parts for these guns dressed up in pretty colors. You can get satin or polished gold, satin or polished rose gold, and that rose, SIG rose gun really put rose gold on the market. Satin, copper, polished copper, satin or polished silver parts, and the color coatings are chrome nitrides, zirconium, all these scientific names I'm not going to read through here, but the point is they are coated for long, durable uses. So you ladies, you can dress up your guns and have your own holster systems. All right, we're going to go to our break and stay with us. We'll talk more around the corner.
Out in Arizona where the bad men are, the only thing to guide you is an evening star. The roughest, toughest man by far was Ragtime Cowboy Joe. He got his name from singing to the cows and sheep. Every night they say he sings a herd to sleep. In a bass voice, rich and deep.
As you brush your teeth and comb your hair, think about your faithful friend in your driveway. While you visit your doctor or dentist, remember your four-wheeled pal in the parking lot. You do your own routine maintenance. Your car or truck depends on you to do that for them. Call the folks with experience and a sound reputation since 1967. Rogers Auto Repair, from tune-ups to complete rebuilds. Airboat and inboard service as well. Family-owned and operated, Rogers Auto Repair.
Who turned out the lights? Never get stuck in the dark with Auto Trim Design Moose Lights and backup lights on your vehicle. They're the best in the interior. See Auto Trim Design's wide variety of Vision X, Putco, and VLED lights that fit most vehicles. Stop in or give us a call, 456-8400, and we'll design the right setup that fits your lifestyle. Auto Trim Design's philosophy hasn't changed in over 20 years. We treat every customer the Alaskan way, with honesty, integrity, and respect.
Customized by Auto Trim Design.
KFAR Weather.
Sunshine mixed with clouds at times today, with daytime highs approaching 60. East winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Mainly clear tonight, lows around 30. Daytime highs approaching 62 tomorrow. Bright sunshine expected. Highs level off around 59 Saturday under sunny skies. 56 Sunday. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Welcome back. This is Shooter's Corner with Laura Berkowitz, KFAR Radio. Melissa Burnett on the controls. Call in at 458-8255, 458-TALK, and let us know what's on your mind about firearms today. So I've got like 10 minutes. We're going to get back to reviewing Dr. Gav Schneider's book, Can I See Your Hands? A Guide to Situational Awareness, Personal Risk Management, Resilience, and Security. I'm going to try to wrap this up next week so that Chuck can comment on it on May 2nd and 9th. Let's see how far I don't know if I'll get much further than our review from April 4th here, but let me try. We left off in Chapter 4 titled Working Out What to Do, under the subheading titled Target Hardening, How to Transform Yourself into a Hard Target. So between our March 28th discussion and our April 4th discussion, we learned criminals look for soft targets, and we learned what makes us a soft target, and Dr. Schneider explained how to make ourselves and our assets into hard targets. All that won't make us 100% safe, but it will increase our odds for not being chosen as a victim. And we learn that when we are in an attack, we might have to make a decision as to what to do in as little as 3/10 of a second. It would be impossible in 3/10 of a second to reason out much of anything. We need to focus on avoidance and prevention rather than coping or management of a situation. We should figure out the top 20% of our actions that make us vulnerable or soft targets and focus 80% of our energy and training to mitigate that 20% vulnerability. And Dr. Schneider cautioned us that being paranoid is as negative as not being aware. And also, if we live in fear, we will not have a decent quality of life. And it all boils down to first being aware and resilient in our surroundings, second avoiding being a target, and third training to do what must be done to overcome any attack we cannot see coming and cannot escape from. Also have a plan to recuperate after attack or disaster, get back to normal, have a personal plan, and have a financial plan. And we learn to, quote, eliminate what the potential opposition may want, unquote. Don't flaunt expensive stuff. Don't brag about what you have to people you don't know. The criminal is going to work his mischief. Make it hard for him to get what he wants from you. He'll have to find another victim who doesn't listen to Shooter's Corner or read Dr. Schneider's book, or who doesn't tune in May 2nd and 9th to listen to Chuck and to read it. Now, I closed out on April 4th describing how my neighbor and I dressed and acted differently when we were all on the trail. She presented a soft target in the way she dressed, she did not have any escape contingency plans. I presented a hard target in the unfashionable way I dressed, plus I had several means of self-protection, plus I knew where the places were to quickly escape from the trail to the road. I also had a phone with me should I need help. My friend did not, and having that phone is part of planning for the aftermath. We talked about Dr. Schneider's term defense in depth, also called the onion approach, and it's also referred to as concentric layers or circles, and this approach is like an onion. It allows us to have layers of protection to harden us and our assets. So just to finish the review and bring us up to today's discussion, on page 25 of the book, there's an illustration. It is one box with five concentrically smaller boxes inside of the first box. And the first box is labeled deterrence. The second is detection, then delay. The fourth is response, and the fifth is recover. And in the recover box is the term asset, because this system helps us protect ourselves as individual persons, hence the term recover, and also to protect our assets, such as digital information or our things. And all this is abbreviated DDDRR, deterrence, detection, delay, response, and recover. So creating ourselves and assets as hard targets is not one activity. It's a process of many small activities that all together make us unattractive or hard targets to a criminal. And we left off talking about defense if death on our home and what that might look like. We don't want our home to be a jail for us. We need to be realistic. And to be realistic, we have to assess the threats around us. We don't want to be paranoid. So we create a baseline. How easy is it to break into our home? Well, fix that. Are we signaling that we have something a criminal might want. Well, stop doing that. Keep your luxury cars, your snow machines, your four-wheelers, your motorcycles, your boats in the garage or in the shed. We look at crime statistics in the larger picture, the larger geographic area, then hone in on our specific neighborhood, and then take that picture down to your street level. What about your neighbors? Yes, you could have a neighbor or two that actually spook you. Do you have closed circuit? Now we're getting into new material here. Do you have closed circuit TV? Now, my friend in Zimbabwe has closed circuit TV on his farm property assets, and there's a lot of theft there. Do you have a dog that will bark when people approach the house? Do you have a camera system? Do you have lights on all the time when it's dark? Do you at least have motion lights? What locks do you have on your doors? Are your doors metal or wood? What closures do you have on your windows? Do you have or need an alarm system? Should you use a professional alarm service? You might actually save money on your homeowner's insurance if you have an alarm system. Now, Dr. Schneider mentions that in extreme circumstances, one might consider an additional internal barrier, such as a gate, that will separate out, in his example, the living room from the sleeping areas, the bedrooms. Or do you need a safe room? Now, remember, this was very interesting to me. Remember, Dr. Schneider grew up in South Africa, and gating is common there and in some other Africa countries. So I would never have thought about gates inside the house and may have thought a person would be paranoid having gates inside their home. But I do not think that way now. When I visited my friend in Zimbabwe, there were lots of bars and gates everywhere. But in his house, the bars and gates were on the front doors and the windows, and those were to keep out both the animals, keep the elephants out, and keep the criminals out, mostly thieves out. But having several break-ins, my friend's home had an iron gate. It was well done, very nicely designed, an iron gate between the living room, dining room, kitchen area, and the back of the house where the bedrooms were. And the gate gets locked at night, as well as the window bars and door gates. If someone manages to break in the front of the house, they cannot get to the family sleeping in the back of the house. And it took me a while to process this. When I was there, I kind of felt like I was in jail with all these gates. I mean, seriously, I thought, what if there's a fire? How do you get out of here? But it's daily life for many in Zimbabwe. And most everyone has walls around their property and homes, sometimes 8 to 10 feet high, sometimes with broken glass or razor wire cemented into the top, with a locked gate to access the inside property, as well as bars on windows and gates inside the home. So, you know, it's just a cultural thing. When he talks about these things, we may not pay attention to it, but this is real life for some people, probably in some neighborhoods in the lower 48. Now, all of us know not to leave ladders, shovels, or anything a criminal can use to break in, to break a window or pry open a door outside in plain sight. Of course, what do we all do in the winter? We leave our shovels outside. It all has to do with how we assess our surroundings and the likelihood of criminal activity targeting us. In summary, we need to figure out individually what makes our homes unattractive to criminals, and it could be a combination of layered things like the onion. And after we've assessed our home, maybe we want to look at our vehicles. The type of vehicle we drive can attract criminals, expensive luxury vehicles, even work vehicles that have equipment that a criminal can fence for money can get stolen or broken into. But in general, just be careful what you leave on the seat of your vehicle. Don't leave anything that might entice a criminal to break in and steal it. Now, I have a ratty blanket and an old canvas tote and several crinkled up large black trash sacks that have been in there for years in my average price, not fancy car. And if I go shopping and I have anything at all I think would entice a thief, I simply put the ratty blanket or the crinkled black trash sacks or the old canvas tote over it. And I would suggest not putting any identifying stickers or decals on your vehicle, like the high school team your kids are on, or anything related to firearms, really anything at all that could be identifying. And of course, I lock my car when I leave it in a parking lot. Now, moving on to being persons as targets, Dr. Schneider suggests how we can look like hard targets. So think of a criminal standing on a street corner watching you walk down the sidewalk. Think about what he might assess, how he might assess you, the way you look and the way you act. Just kind of think about that today when you're going back and forth in town or going to your car from your place of business. If those assessments tell you you might be a soft target, then fix those items that make you soft. And Dr. Snyder gives us general ideas, but living in Fairbanks, we have environmental factors to deal with too. He tells us what criminals might look at first is our base level of awareness. And of course, the criminal isn't standing there thinking, let me evaluate Laura's base level of awareness. But what they are doing is checking to see if we're paying attention. If we notice them and what we are wearing and what we are carrying, are we self-distracted? Are we talking on our phones or digging our keys out of a deep tote bag or carrying four shopping bags? On and on, you get it. Dr. Snyder tells us to look around, be aware, make eye contact, and don't seem distracted because we are on our phones or have earplugs in our ears listening to music. Did you clearly make sure the potential criminal standing on the corner noticed that you noticed him? Make eye contact. Quote, this is from the book, whilst understanding the need to become a hard or impalatable target is comparatively straightforward, the starting point to apply this personal target hardening or personal defense in-depth approach is truly as simple as base level awareness. It's important that we are not only aware of what's going on around us, but that potential attackers see us being aware. That's really important. They see us being aware through actions such as looking around and observing and controlling our personal space. It doesn't help if we know we're not aware. It doesn't help if we know we're aware, but nobody else can see that we're aware. So visibly turning your head and scanning the environment is a very useful tool.
About 30 seconds.
Well, I will tell you all that I just turn around and look at people behind me quite often. And I'll pick up here next week, and hopefully we can finish up the book. Don't forget, this weekend, Saturday at noon, barbecue lunch will be provided for the bear baiting workshop, The Northern Hunter, and you can go to their website and RSVP so they know who's coming. And then next month, the 2nd and the 9th, check-in to read it will be on with more of this important staying safe information. Have a great weekend, everyone.